We're going to continue in our study about the essential elements for a healthy and growing church. And when we're saying essential elements, I mean these things must be present in a congregation of believers for it to become spiritually healthy. And we all know that spiritually healthy congregations of believers automatically grow. That's the way God designed His church. All right, so just kind of keep that in mind. We've gone through two of them. One of them was discipleship. We spent a couple of weeks working that out, learning from Jesus Himself and what He says discipleship is, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then we also talked about what is fellowship. And hopefully we learned that it's a little bit more than eating meetings and standing out in the hallway talking and about going to eating meetings, right? So it's a little bit deeper than that. It's more about sharing life together. It's more about walking with Christ together. It's more about being the witness together, doing the work together. All things we do as a unit, as a united body of Christ together in all parts of who we are in Christ. So that's kind of where that went. Today, we're going to take a look at this element that's called ministry, all right? So I'm hoping that we have a good understanding, if not, we will have, of what ministry really is, not what some people might believe that it is, or even the very shallow understanding of what it is, all right? Now, oftentimes, myself and other preachers and missionaries around the world, we talk about when we went into ministry, or we were called into ministry, or we're part of the ministry, right? And that's kind of the way we describe what we've been called to do or the role that we play in the body of Christ. And I suppose there's several other areas of service, of ministry, of calling, that someone could refer to it as, this is my ministry, or this is what I do as a minister of the gospel. And I think those are all appropriate things to say, and if we understand what it means, then it is definitely appropriate to say it that way, because really another word that can be used to describe what ministry is simply the word service, or to serve. All right, it's one and the same thing. To minister to someone simply means to serve someone. All right. So if we have a group of believers, a congregation of believers around anywhere around the world, if they're going to be a spiritually healthy church that honors God and is growing in Christ and is growing in number, not only do they have to be genuine disciples, completely committed to Jesus and His teachings, He's number one over everything and everyone else, but also they have to be sharing life together. They have to be doing ministry or serving others and each other together, praying together, singing songs together, eating together, laughing together, crying together. That's what fellowship is. And they will be doing, that will be a part. And I'm not talking about things we have to try to do. I'm saying make up our mind that these are going to be part of who we are and let the Spirit of God lead us into becoming those things. Make sense? All right, so now what is this ministry all about? Well, here's my questions that we're going to start off with. Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? Why am I on the planet? And also, why am I here at Oak Grove Christian Church? As opposed to being anywhere else or being nowhere else. Why? What is the point? What's the purpose? What am I doing here? Second question, what does God want with me? Right? Why would Jesus die on a cross for me? And the church answer is, and the best answer is because God loves us that much. That's what the answer is. But it's, God created us to love us, but He also created us to be a part of His kingdom. to be a part of His family, to be a part of what glorifies Him. You see. So it's not just a, let me just accept Christ and be saved, and there's nothing else to it. No, no, we those of us who are believers, those of us who are genuine disciples of Christ, who are participating in the fellowship of the body of Christ, those of us who are His, we have a growing desire to fall in line with God's desire. And God's desire is to love people. Okay? And He uses His church in this world to love people. Not only does the church love each other, but we also love the community and the rest of the world. All right? And we, I don't mean just looking at, like, let's see, let's, here's the best example I can talk about. I can't just look into my wife's eyes and be all romantic and say I love you and then never serve her. I could do that, right? But there's going to be consequences. Not because she's going to be angry with me, but because she's not going to actually feel loved. Because I'm not doing anything, my actions are not doing anything to show her that I love her. Right? And if we're going to be the church, disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, we're going to go into the world and we're going to love people. We're going to love each other in the way that Jesus loved when He was on the planet. Right? So we can't just keep coming to church and say, God, I love you. And then leave the building an hour later with nothing to back it up, with nothing to show for it. Right? And you cannot be a part of the church. You can't be a follower of Christ. You can't be in the fellowship without serving one another. It's not possible, right? If you're genuinely in the fellowship of believers, it's automatic that you will want to serve one another, pray for one another, talk with one another, share life with one another, laugh with one another, check on each other. Y'all been doing for you always do great, but recently we've had a lot of need in our church. And y'all are doing amazing at serving one another. All right? And I'm not really patting you on the back. I'm praising God for you. Because y'all love each other. Y'all are the church. Y'all are disciples of Jesus. You're trying everything to surrender to the Lord and His Word to help you go and serve one another. It's a natural thing for us to do. Okay? So that's what, when we talk about ministry, that's what we're talking about. And specifically today, when we're talking about being a healthy church that is growing, a healthy congregation that is growing, when we talk about serving, I want to talk about serving one another within the church specifically. All right? And then as we move on to the next point in the next couple of weeks, the next week or two, we're going to talk about how that bleeds out into serving others in the community. Okay? So don't think that I'm picking one or the other. We're going through it all. So let's see how the Bible describes ministry. All right, let's just use the Word of God to help us know some truth. Y'all agree with that? That's the best thing to do, that I know how to do. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." How many of y'all believe that God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that you could be His, right? And that God, it's like, how many of y'all believe that God created you specifically? You're not just, there's not just a production line where God just has a mold of the same person and He just keeps putting them out. I'm going to make 7,000 of these. Okay, I'm going to make 7,000 of those. I'm going to make 6,000 of these. No. Each one of us, God knows intimately. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many hairs aren't on your head. He knows how many are gone that used to be there. He knows every little thing about you because he created you specifically. And we have to understand that God doesn't just do things for no reason, just because. My son and I had this conversation several times when he was a young kid growing up, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out who he is, understand what's going on. He and I had an agreement that we agreed that God doesn't make mistakes and God doesn't just randomly do stuff. All right? That's where we have to start to understand what God's doing in our life. So what that means is, and what this scripture is trying to tell us is you and I and all the people that God's ever created are a tool for him to use for his glory. And he's handcrafted, basically, with his holy hands. He's handcrafted each one of us. So in that regard, you are a creation of God Almighty. Okay? So if that's the case, then how can we doubt what God would have us do? How can we doubt what God would call us to? How can we doubt what God would say to us and say, hey, go love this person or go serve this person. I want you to be a part of this church. I want you to serve in this way. I can almost count on it. All the different places the Lord has led me to serve in the different church congregations, every time we ask somebody to do something, to volunteer, to lead something, to teach something, to get involved. Almost every time, there are some exceptions, but almost every time, it's the first reaction is, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's my call. I don't know if that's my ministry. I don't know what we can. I don't know." It's like whatever was going on in Moses' head is contagious. And I'm just going to say, I'm as guilty as everybody else. I'm hoping I'm growing out of that kind of thing. All right, because when I first got saved, I was like that. I was like, okay, I'm just here to learn. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. And then as we got going, I mean, of course, we were at a much larger church, and there was more opportunities to get involved. So everybody kept coming to us as they did everybody else, saying, hey, we want you to do this. We want you to come to this. We want you to be a part of that. Next thing I know, several years went by, and I'm in charge of the entire men's ministry of 600 people. I haven't even realized I'm called to preach at this point in my life. And I keep coming home to my wife. I'm like, why am I in charge of the men's ministry? I can't teach nobody nothing. Right? But I was. I don't even think I agree. I think I was voluntold by a couple of the preachers that were on staff. I really feel like I was. And I think that was their way of gently, lovingly ushering me and nudging me into what the Lord was calling me to do. You see. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. All I had to do was make sure everybody knew what time stuff were happening and make sure we had teaching material. We had other people that would come in and teach the classes and different things in the fellowship. So I had to get that in check, you know. But here it is. God has something for you to do. It says you're his workmanship and you're created in Christ Jesus, what? For good works. Hello? Believers are not created to just show up at church, sit in the pew, and then leave and never get involved in the church ever. It's not a turn on and turn off deal. And I'm talking, you're part of the body of Christ. You are God's workmanship to do good works. It's outside. It's on your own. It's in your family, in your home, in your job, in your community, in your neighborhood. You're always doing the work of God somehow. All right? And it's not because you have to. It's like, oh, I got to go work with the Lord today. No. We do like Abraham. When God said, I want you to put your son on the altar, you get up early in the morning. I get to serve God today. I get to go find some people to love on somewhere. Here's what I found out about that, though. you know, early on, I would get up and say, okay, who can I go love? And I'd be driving around going about my life going, should I love that person? Should I love that? And it wasn't because of anything. It's just I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do. And as we grow in Christ, we find out it's like the Lord puts people in front of you. You don't get to go searching and looking around. You don't have to work hard. They are right there. All right? And when it comes to being part of the church, if you're part of the body of Christ and you're part of a congregation of believers, which I believe God really wants you to be, I don't think you can be part of the church without being a part of the body of Christ, without being in the fellowship on a regular basis. I think he wants us to love each other just like the church when it very first started in Acts chapter 2 said they had everything in common. They studied together. They prayed together. They ate together. They slept together. They walked together. They cried together. They did everything together. Because they had the same Savior and the same Spirit. Okay? That's the church, y'all. That's who we are. All right? So this is Ephesians chapter 2. Just telling us that, hey, God, you're God's workmanship, and he says what you can do. He says where you go. He says how you do it. And we say, yes, sir. Here I am. And he's prepared all this beforehand. It's not like he's figuring it out. It's not like he's finding stuff for you to do. You're prepared for a specific thing. In the kingdom of God, you, each one of you, and me. There's a specific thing that God has created you to do. And if we pay attention to him, he will show it to us along the way. All right, now, here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. I know, I'm apologize. I know, I'm still figuring out how big things need to be on the new screens. All right, you see, I think you can see it, but you have your Bibles, you can read. All right, I'm going to try to make them bigger in the future. Here's what it is. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, "And each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." All right? There it is right there. Minister to one another. Not in your own strength. Not in your own wisdom. Not in your own choice and picking and choosing. Oh, I serve this person, but not this person. Oh, that's not how I serve. I do this. No. You serve with the special gift that you have received from God. And you employ that. You let God use that in a way to serve one another. He's talking to the church about serving each other, the church. All right? And we're going to find out why here in a little bit. All right? Whoever speaks, okay, here's the rest of it. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. If that doesn't convict all of us right now, there's something wrong with us. Because every single one of us at some point in our life have said something that we wish we could just get back because it doesn't honor God. All right? So I was looking over that. I was like, speak as if you're speaking the utterances of God. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got some repenting to do. Right? It's hard. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, y'all. Oh my gosh, this verse has set me free so many times as a preacher, just a preacher alone. Do y'all realize how many Sundays preachers, how many Saturday nights preachers are just praying? It's like, Lord, I don't know why you're asking me to do this. Who am I to stand anywhere and tell anybody anything? Especially handle your word. That's a real thing, y'all. That's a real thing. And there's times when we just show up and we don't have nothing to offer God. And we just have to say, you know what? You're just going to just have all of this, Lord. Which turns out that's what he wants anyway, right? It's the best place to be. But I read this verse. Every time I get in that place, which is sometimes, it says, you're serving is to whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength with God supplies. That's where y'all praise the Lord. That's where y'all stop being Moses and say, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't. That's not my calling. I'm not good at that. This is not what." No, if God lays it in front of you, then guess what? He must be giving you what you need to be able to do it. I don't know how many times myself and other teachers, other preachers, other servants, other ministers, other people in the church, when they serve the Lord faithfully, testimonies keep coming saying, you know what, I didn't think anybody paid attention to what I do. I didn't think it benefited anybody. I didn't think it was doing any good for anybody. And it turns out somebody was blessed by it, and somebody came to the Lord by it. Somebody knows God better. Somebody praises God for your help. And it just goes on and on because you don't know what the Lord's doing with your service. Right? Now, here's another thing about this statement, and I'll move on. When it says that we are to serve, right? Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. We need to understand and make sure that we don't forget that it's always by the strength that God supplies and never by any other strength that we serve one another, that we participate in the body of Christ. Because if we come in here and do our own thing in our own strength and try to make the church go in our own will, we'll fall. We'll fail. We'll struggle. We'll be disappointed. We'll be frustrated. We'll be angry. So, look, here, finish it up. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God be the glory, y'all. And the best way I know to help us stay humble when it comes to ministering to one another and serving one another, being a blessing to one another, is to just know that it's for God's glory. And if it's for God's glory, then let's just let Him do it through us. Let's just surrender to Him, let Him have His way, and let Him build us up. Right? And I'm going to tell you this, just so y'all are aware, because you need to know, those times, especially those times when the preacher comes in here and he's just not with it with the Lord. He's just not on the same page as God. He's just totally defeated, totally afraid, totally uncertain. Whatever the case is, it's always the church, the people in the church that build him up and pick him up. It happens every time at this church, at this congregation. You guys are amazing. You don't even know you're doing it because you come in and you say things to me that make a difference. So I know you're doing it to each other. You're doing it for each other. Right? I know that some people come in here, they don't even know if they can sing. They don't even know if they're just here because that it's a Sunday morning. It's like, I didn't really want to come, but it's Sunday and I don't want to be talked about, so I got to come. And somebody comes in and just lays some words of blessing on you, puts an arm around you, or even just smiles at you. And it changes everything, you see. This is what ministry is. This is what we do. This is what glorifies God. It's why when people come in the doors of our church, they don't just see that we believe. They don't see us saying we believe. They don't see us singing songs that we believe. They actually feel the presence of God here. You see. They're going to walk in to a place like this or other churches that have the same elements of for a healthy, growing church. They're gonna walk in and they're gonna say, "Okay, it seems like things are real in here," because that's what the world's looking for. There's a whole bunch of people out there saying that they know what the truth is about God and they have it, and then when you show up, there's no evidence of it. And if we're gonna be a healthy, spiritually healthy, growing church, we're going to be that place, one of those places where people can show up looking for God, looking for the truth, and actually meet Him. Actually walk into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to leave here, and they're not going to be able to ignore it. Because it's real, and it's genuine. And all that's going to do is make them, all week long, they're going to be like, man, there is definitely something going on over there that I need to know about. And maybe they're going to come back the next week, or maybe they're going to come back another time, or they're going to call somebody and say, tell me what this is. Tell me what's going on. Because they've been exposed to God Himself. They've been exposed to the church. They've been exposed to a healthy group of believers who are in genuine fellowship, and they're genuinely striving to be disciples of Christ. And the presence of God is thick in the room. All right? And I know y'all are like, well, that's kind of Pentecostal. That's kind of... No. That's the Bible. That's the reality of the church, y'all. If somebody walks into a church building and There is no emotions. There is no love. It's just everybody looking at their watch because they're just putting in the time. It's almost guaranteed they will never come back because they're not looking for that. They're looking for God. They're looking for the Lord. All right, here we go. Now, let's get into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if we lived in Romans chapter 12 and studied it for 2 years, we could still never get to the end of some of the truth that's in there. But here's three through four, and then we'll go to eight. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, right? As God has allotted to each, look, a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, it takes many. It takes many, doesn't it? That's why whenever we're saying, here's what we're going to do here at the church, or we got this project, we got this thing going on, I'm saying to y'all, all hands on deck, because the more the merrier, and the more hands on deck, the easier it is for us to serve, the better it is for us to serve. And that's going to be true whether we have 20 people here or 1,000 people here. Right? You cannot be the church. One person cannot be the church. It takes the whole crowd. Right? God has given us everything we've needed for that. He's given us everything we needed to be the church. It takes all of us, not just some of us, all of us. So, here's verse 5 through 8. So because of that, we who are many are one body in Christ, meaning the body of Christ as a whole. And look, individually, get this, y'all, individually members of one another. Hello? We're part of each other. We belong to each other. We talked about in our Bible study earlier this morning how because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we've surrendered ourselves to Him, and God has taken possession of us, of me, self, and you who are saved. And because we have the same God with the same Savior and the same Holy Spirit living in each one of us, then we must belong to one another too. That's how many can be one in Christ. That's how many can be the church, the one church. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, the rest of this these verses, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Don't piddle around and waste the things that God has gifted you with. All right? Just because you think you're not good at it, or because you're scared about it, or you're nervous, or whatever the case might be, it's a stewardship issue. It really is. And sometimes you don't even know you're gifted at something until you actually go try to do it. All right, if it's prophecy according to the proper proportion of his faith, if it's service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Those are just a few of the ways that people are gifted to serve and be part of the church that God uses to minister to each other through each one of us. Hold on to that list, because we're going to find another list in chapter 4 of Ephesians. We're created to serve, y'all. We're created to serve God, and we're created to serve one another. All right, because we belong to one another, I have a responsibility and an obligation, and I should have a desire to help you. Come alongside of you and support you and encourage you and serve with you. Right? Because you're part of me and I'm part of you. You see. And young preachers come out of Bible college or get into preaching, and that there's this bad habit that we fall into, and we talk constantly talking about my church and my elders and my deacons. No. This is God's church. Those are God's elders, and those are God's deacons, and those are God's servants. And you're God's preacher. right? I'm just one little part of the whole thing. I have responsibilities in my calling. I have a position that God has called me to that actually is to work in tandem with and together with what you guys do for the body of Christ, for each other. You see, I try to think of things as this is our assignment in our ministry. But what it really is God sent us here and we get to serve alongside with you. We get to serve God and we get to serve each other, and then ultimately we're going to serve the world, the community. All right? That's what it is. It's not me and my church. It's God and His church. Right? It's Jesus and His disciples. Come follow us. Come worship with us. Come study with us, because we're trying to be like Jesus. So you can be like Jesus too, if you would like to come with us and do that. So all I'm here to do is, with the help of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, is put some things out there so that God can have His way with us. Okay? So hopefully we can see that ministry is actually serving. And it's nothing more, nothing less. When we minister to one another, we're really serving one another. When we're serving one another, we're loving one another. When we're loving one another, we're loving God. Hello? All right. I'm getting there. I got 2 points, but they're long ones. But I'm almost done. I'm ready. Almost ready. Here we are. Let's get into our text. This is the main text. The rest of it's just there to go along with this one. This is why ministry or serving makes the church healthy. This is why it makes the church healthy and why it grows. All right. So let's read. We're reading verse 11 through 16 together. I'm going to read through it and then I'll go through the slides. And he gave some to, this is the Ephesians being told about the unity of the Spirit. In the beginning of this chapter, he's saying, look, walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. In other words, be who you are in Christ. Jesus died for you to be what God created you to be. So do that. And then he gets down to verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, adding to the list from Romans, right? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Let's read verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I was going to read all the way through to 16, but I'm just going to wait because I don't want to go too fast with that. Church, congregations of believers, churches around the world, this church, this Oak Grove Christian Church, we are not going to be healthy and we're not going to grow if this is not a part. This is a must-have. This is must be a part of who we are. All right? We have our gifts. We have our callings. We are who we are in Christ. We're tuned into that. We're serving one another. We do this not because we have to, but because we want to. And it's for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? Raise your hand if you're a believer. That makes you one of the saints. All right, that's what he means. The equipping of the saints. All right, that means giving you what you need to do what you're to do for the Lord. So that means you're not only is the preaching of the word, as what I'm doing right now, it's to equip you for the works that God has called you to, but also the serving one another part that happens outside of Sunday morning, happens in our eating meetings, it happens in our homes, it happens in our Bible studies, it happens over the phone. These days it happens over the internet if we can do it right. You see. By the way, for y'all watching online, we love you, but it cannot only be done online, so figure that out. You got to be with the church. You can't love people from afar. Not all the time. There's got to be some interaction with folks. That's what Jesus died for, so that we could be together and that He could be with us for eternity. So it's for the equipping of the saints and for the work of service, for ministry, that we are to serve one another, that we are to minister to one another, that we are to tune into what God has created us to do and gifted us to do and called us to do. Moses was a stutterer. He was a scaredy cat. He's argued with God. And he walked up to Pharaoh after some convincing on God's part and said, can you just let the people go? That's probably how he did it. But he was given the strength to do it, right? God gave him the strength, and he did that a bunch of times over and over again. Nobody says you have to be perfect at what God calls you to do. That should be obvious by the music playing this morning. I know y'all notice when I don't do it just right. And it's okay. It doesn't bother me. Do the best we can, right? And here's the goal. The goal is for the building up of the body of Christ, the building up of the church. It's so that we can be stronger, so that we can be healthier, so that we can continue to grow spiritually, individually and as a group of believers, but also in number, so more people will know God. You see, that's what he's saying here. He's like, look, you got all these gifts, you're being called, live the life that Jesus died for you to live so that everybody can keep growing and that God would be glorified, as we read in the previous scriptures this morning. I'm almost done. He's describing what a healthy church looks like. I don't mean anything more than spiritually healthy, doing the work of the kingdom of God so that people can have a chance to know God and be saved. All right, verse 14 and 15, let's land the plane. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but, speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. If we're going to be spiritually, if we're going to just stay infants spiritually, we won't ever grow spiritually or in number, right? If we're just baby Christians all the time and God keeps leading people to come into our presence to see Him, to meet Him, they're not going to meet Him, because surface-level Christians who stay surface-level Christians are not healthy, right? And that's true just in human beings. You can only feed a baby milk or formula for so long. Eventually, you're going to have to put some food in their mouth. And eventually, they're going to get some meats and vegetables and so on, right? That's the same thing spiritually. If we're not growing individually on a spiritual level, then we're not going to grow together as a church. And we're not going to be able to minister to each other properly in a way that God would have us do. It means we get real with one another. Sometimes ministering to somebody is just having a personal conversation saying, hey man, what can I do to help you? Because it looks like you're slack a bit. Looks like you're off the path just for a minute. What can I do? You're not pointing fingers and saying, you sinner, how can you do this? No, you're saying, we're not on a path. What's happening? What can I do to help you? I don't want you to go astray. I don't want you to get lost. You know? And it has more to do with just attending church or attending Bible studies or attending eating meetings or whatever, but it does have to do with that. Because all of those things, when people disappear and they just kind of sporadically show up, there's something wrong. They're not connected somehow to God. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they're not connected to the body of Christ. They're not tuned in. Right? And here's what ends up happening is the Lord calls the congregation, the Lord calls the group of believers to go do something for the community, and those people are missing out on that opportunity because they're never around. You see. They don't know what's going on. I don't know how many times in the past, it hasn't happened here, praise the Lord, but in the past, somebody who comes to church every 2 months gets mad at me because they didn't know we were doing something. And almost every time it has happened over the phone, and I'm glad because I'm just sitting there at my desk going, I don't know what to say to this person. Right? But because we're supposed to help each other and lovingly help each other grow, the Lord has to give us words to say that are helpful, right? That are encouraging. But at the same time, do not compromise the truth for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pour a bunch of sugar on it. I'm just going to help you take your medicine. Does that make sense? Because I don't like the medicine either, but sometimes we've got to take it. All right, verse 16, and this is our close. Verse 16. This is it right here. This is why ministry is essential to a healthy, growing church. He says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There it is, all of it wrapped up in a nice little package for us, isn't it? It's all there. All right, he's saying it's Christ who enables us to do this, enables us to be this, enables us to participate this. It says the whole body being fitted and held together by what? That means we're together. That means we're in unity. There is no separate, there is no pew sitters and chair sitter. There's nothing like that. It's us. It's we, the church. We and Jesus. We're together. Well, we're fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. We're held together by each other, y'all. We're held together by who we are in Christ together. If you read about Jesus in the letter to the Colossians, that's all about Jesus being the center of it all and holding it all together. And if Jesus is my Savior and He's your Savior and we have the same Spirit of God, then how can we ever be not together? How can we ever not be unified? How can we ever not be the church together? That's why you cannot be the church by yourself, y'all. All right? And then it says, according to the proper working of each individual part. The proper working. When I see that, and that tells me that there is an improper, right? That means there's a wrong way. There's something that's not what Jesus died for. It's not what the Scripture's telling us. The proper is God's will for your calling and your service. The proper is what God is leading you to do, not what you want God to sign off on, not what I want God to do, not what we think we should. We can't just change things because we want it to be different. And it's proper. It's God's will that causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself. You notice it says the building up of itself. One of the most amazing things I think about the human body is that when a human body is injured in a somewhat minor way, right? If I get a cut on my finger from cooking and I cut my finger, if it's not super terrible bad without stitches, then I can just put a Band-Aid on it or something. Used to be duct tape. We used to wrap duct tape around it. And it will heal itself over time. There'll be a scar, but it will heal itself. The human body is created to be able to do that. Even when you have to have major surgery, your body is still healing itself after the repair has been done. The body has to close itself back up, you see. And the church is the same way, y'all. The Spirit of God is in all of us. We all have the same Savior and we all have the same Spirit. And He does all the work. And if we're going to be strong and healthy and we're going to grow, it's because we're building ourselves up in Him, with Him and by Him. He does the work, but as long as we choose to do it, we choose to participate. Y'all get where we're going with the ministry, the service. All right? I love you. The Lord loves you. It's time to get off the runway and give glory to the Lord. All right? And we look around the room. Some people are traveling today. But there's others that I don't know where they are. We love them, and they're part of the family. Might have to honk at them like we did last week. Remember? All the geeks. Might have to just honk at them a bit and say, hey, we love you. Miss you. Right? It's important. And I get it, but it's important. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you have a decision to make for the Lord, you're not part of the family of God, today can be the day, can be the life-changing day. You can repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins.